All right, well, welcome to the Viking Press Pass here on a Sunday. I think it's my first Sunday ever recording. So I'm Matthew Nickel, and joining me today from the men's basketball team, senior big man, Mike Hamilton. Mike, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Well, now, I don't know if this is a coincidence, but you wear number 30. This is episode 30. So
perfect.
Does the number 30, I guess, hold kind of any, you know, special significance to you, or is it just a happy accident here today?
A happy accident, but it's perfect.
All right, I like it. Well, let's talk a little bit about J-Term just finished this past week. Kind of a nice break, you know, this week before I think the spring semester starts up, and you know, you don't have a game till Sunday. So how's it, or till next Saturday. So how's it feel good to have some downtime here?
You know, we've been kind of going twice, two games a week, practice 4 days a week. So it's definitely been a little tolling on everybody. We've had some close wins. Bodies have been getting beat up a little bit after those close wins, especially this four game stretch we just had. But it's definitely going to be nice to take a day off or two, especially today, to just relax, catch up on some of the tasks I've been pushing off because of basketball in school, but kind of just rest, go to the training room, get a quick lift in. But yeah, this break's definitely going to be good.
Yeah, it's always much needed. I never had a J-term when I was there. So, so as I've been talking to, you know, some of the student athletes here kind of over the time, it's like such a compressed schedule, you know, for one topic, one class, you know, coming right out of the holidays. It's a lot, especially, you know, I can just imagine if you're, you know, in the basketball team or, you know, in the wrestling schedule, it's a lot to cram in and, you know, in 4 to 5 weeks. So not sure I can empathize with you quite yet, but I'm sure I can sympathize. Well, let's talk a little bit about yesterday, the North Central game. You know, men's and women's had a nice doubleheader. Both came away with wins, so really kind of avenged that doubleheader loss, you know, up in Naperville, I don't know, 5-6 weeks ago. And you guys snuck away with an overtime win. And, you know, me and my son, we had to leave with, gosh, about 5 minutes left in the game. He had a friend's birthday party. And, you know, we wanted to make sure we weren't too late for that, you know, showing up fashionably late. But what were your kind of thoughts on the game yesterday?
You know, it was kind of a emotional one, you can say. Did you say 6 weeks ago we played North Central? That was the game I actually re-pulled my groin. And so kind of getting to play them again because we lost at Naperville. Playing him again, take him to overtime. It was just a phenomenal win, and it felt great to see that buzzer go off and actually be up this time, not down, chasing him, trying to follow him at the end of the game. But it was a tough game. A lot of trading baskets. Couldn't really get some defensive stretches going, but we just kept battling on the offensive side, getting it done, which we've kind of struggled with earlier in the season, really got it going recently, so... Definitely an emotional game, especially when it goes into OT. Sad you didn't get to see it, but it was a good game.
I had it on. I pulled up the broadcast on YouTube, so we listened to it in the car, and then I got a chance to watch it at the birthday party. So I just kind of sat in the corner and finished it. It was close. It was real close. I mean, God, that three they pulled up from the logo, that was, you know. It was a little early, but, you know, my God, that was a tough shot. And then, you know, coming down, it didn't seem like, you know, you got the shot, you know, that the team necessarily wanted, but got it done in overtime. And, you know, coming off, you know, those doubleheaders, I'm always kind of curious if, you know, in those doubleheaders, do you get any, you know, like, jolt of confidence, or is anything from, like, if the girls do win, you know, beforehand, Does it help kind of set the tone at all, or do you just still feel pretty, you know, separate? Because you're typically kind of huddled out there waiting for the game to end. Any doubleheader girls wins that kind of help fuel it a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, we're usually there probably around the first, second quarter of their game, watching while we stretch or warm up or just kind of hang out before we have to get into our game day routine. But it's always nice to see them winning or a really good game just to set the tone. And usually if they do win, it's kind of, okay, let's go get another win and just sweep North Central, for example, last night. Or if they lose, it kind of gives us a little bit of extra fire just to go out there and kind of make up for their loss and try to at least get one so we can split on the day.
Yeah, 100%. Well, you know, as I was pulling some stats from the game there, I mean, the bench points for the Vikings outscored the Cardinals 29-15. So how impactful was that, you know, just the points coming from the bench yesterday?
Yeah, we play 10, 9, 10, sometimes 11 guys in a game. And I feel like that's one of our strengths, is we don't need guys playing 38 minutes, 40 minutes to get a win. We kind of have people in every position, so we can kind of send somebody out there to play as hard as they can for 2 minutes, really change the game, change the momentum, and then have somebody come in for 4 minutes and maybe not put all they have within the first 2 minutes, but stretch it out, keep our lead going, and to really have somebody to just come in and back, to say the starters up with even more intensity than we started the game with, is something that we kind of pride ourselves on, just having that deep bench, as we like to call it.
Well, and it, you know, really that bench and the starters, I mean, you know, finding, you know, different rotations, you know, are some of those rotations somewhat set on like practice throughout the week? You know, is it a little bit of a matchup? I mean, how do the kind of rotations and some of the starters sometimes, that, how does that mix, you know, kind of, how do you think Coach Delp and crew kind of identify that?
Yeah, it's kind of really been a personnel game, as we like to call it. I mean, North Park is very different from North Central. Illinois Wesleyan is very different from North Park. So it's kind of like finding the right matchups, not just to start the game, but just finding the right matchups throughout every lineup. Our assistant coaches, Coach Wildermuth, does a great job at kind of rotating players in and out. And it really depends on who they put in at the time or what guys are going with, because the scout that our assistant coaches do is very in-depth. And so we kind of see the tendencies that certain lineups that they have in run. And we kind of match that. So, for example, yesterday, I started the game, but I didn't start the second half. And so we put Sean Kelly in on the best player, and Sean Kelly really set the tone. He, number 20 on North Central, ended up going 1-for-2, I think, in the second half, after going 8-for-12, I think, if those numbers are correct, in the first. And so, I mean, it's really a personnel game of, if they have momentum going, how are we going to stop that? And that's why you kind of see the starters change from game to game. You'll see lineups change during the game. So just kind of a personnel game, really.
Yeah. Well, I know, you know, yesterday you guys out-rebounded the Cardinals 44-38, so a nice plus six. And all that came on the offensive side of things. I mean, there's a couple of, you know, a couple of series there where, you know, you got two or three different rebounds. I know you were, you know, swiping the ball, you know, back out past the 3-point line, and someone would grab it and get another shot off. I mean, how big of a focus, you know, was that for the Vikings kind of as part of the game plan yesterday versus the Cardinals?
You know, we, earlier in the season, we kind of set a goal for our crash game, as we like to call it. And that's really just offensive rebounding. We feel that we send 2, 3, 4 guys at a time every possession, we're going to get the ball tipped out of bounds at least, and we can set up into our defense, or we're going to get extra possessions. And so the focus yesterday is, we aren't usually the biggest team when it comes to our matchups, but we kind of rely on our technique. We rely on our crash game, as we call it, to get two to three guys around the rim on every shot. And yesterday specifically, we knew that if we rebounded and got extra possessions, hopefully we convert on a few of those buckets and get some second chance points. But yesterday specifically, it was kind of, I'm going against two freshmen, I believe, at that five spot, 22 and 44. I know I can kind of use my experience against them when it comes to rebounding certain shots or weak side ceiling, which is my specialty. But yesterday specifically with offensive rebounding was a big focus.
I mean, it seemed like the game was very physical. You know, some of the, I'll say some of the calls were just kind of, I don't know, you always say they're questionable, right? I mean, it is what it is, you know, when you come to the officiating side, but you always want to try and remove that. And, but the game felt very physical. Was there anything you kind of noticed about the gameplay yesterday?
No, really just some of the guards, number 10, Moncrief, number 4, Gaston, they would just take it right at you. Anytime they were getting to the rim, they would either take it at you or try to get around you. Number 22 and number 44, they're five men. Really physical down there, a little more physical than the first time I remember playing them. But they were trying to post up deep, get catches often, which is something that North Central, I think, is kind of attributing their success to, I would say, that inside-out game, which is what we've kind of tried to do more of, and it's worked out for us. But it definitely was a little more physical. I think the rebounding is where we kind of excelled. When we have two or three guys crashing, it puts certain guys at a they don't really know who to take. So the five men, for example, if I'm crashing right and Chase Larson's going left, he's got to hit one of the two and one other guy is going to be open. So it's kind of, if we send multiple bodies, we don't think they're going to hit us. And defensively, it's kind of the opposite. They didn't send many guys. They kind of hoped, but we still had to go out and hit them so they know not to come into the paint. And kind of where our success came from in the out-rebounding.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you mentioned number 10. And, you know, offensively, when he had the ball, I mean, he was given, I think, some excessive forearm shivers from time to time. I know it was frustrating. I think Tyler a few times, you know, Tyler, I think, felt like, you know, when he was trying to pull up, was basically moving through his arms. And so, you know, 10 definitely, you know, 4's got a nice, you know, 3 from the corner there. But, you know, the footing on the court, I'm curious, because I saw a little bit in the girls' game, I wasn't sure if they had some issues. It looked like they did, but there's a few times where, gosh, I think Colton came across and was trying to cut back and make a defensive play and slid. And so did it seem like the footing, like there was any issues with the footing on the court? Cause it seemed like there's a few times some players were sliding around in kind of both games. Did you notice anything or pick up on anything?
Yeah, beginning of the game, we were warming up under the far basket. So that'd be the east basket. And basically right under the rim, I could tell it was slick. When we were doing keyhole shooting, it starts with layups. And usually we started with a dunk. And when I dunked and I came down, I could tell that my shoes had no grip. And so Kate, our manager, was quick to try to wipe it up with a towel and try to get the I think they're oil spots from other sports using the court, because other sports do use the main court. So we usually have to wipe it to get just any debris or any oil spots off. But yesterday definitely had some slick spots. I remember the play. We were running a press and they threw it over and Colton went to steal it, but slipped under our basket in the first half. And so I remember that play specifically. But yeah, I think there were just a couple spots that didn't really help us. We didn't really clean up beforehand, but it's hard to when there's a girls' game before us, people using the court before them. But yeah, a little slick yesterday.
Yeah. Well, in that girls' game, I know Audrey Erickson was pointing somewhere around like on the Viking logo, and the referee, I don't think actually believed her. I think she was, you know, trying to think Audrey was trying to get some extra downtime, you know, and But no, they're, you know, ended up going out there. I don't know if they thought it was water, but it would make sense from an oil spot. So just seemed like it was a little bit of footing, you know, issues. So, but anyway, well, hey, the Vikings, are 12-8, you know, well above 500, you know, kind of the final stretch here, five games, you know, left in the season. What are your thoughts just on how the season's been, you know, kind of going so far?
Yeah, I think we're playing some of our best basketball right now. I think we're kind of at that peak or getting to our peak midseason form. But I think we definitely had a rough start or slow start in the conference schedule specifically. I know we only lost two games out of conference, but we lost, what was our two? Were we 2-6, 3-6? At one point, and
yeah, something like that.
Something around there. And I think a few of those losses, we just kind of had let some old habits get in the way, kind of gave up some leads, and we just weren't, we're not playing like we are now. And so 12-8 is definitely above 500, definitely good. When you get into the conference schedule, you kind of just conference record, and 5-6 right now. We're kind of battling back to get to that 500. We're very optimistic about the five games I believe we have left.
Yep.
But I think we're very optimistic. Obviously, Wesleyan might be the toughest just because they are number three in the nation right now. But yeah, no, from this point on, very optimistic about the games we have in front of us.
Yeah, that, I mean, you mentioned Wesley. I mean, a lot of eyes are going to be on that game. You know, one, I think it should probably travel pretty well. You know, Bloomington's not too far from us. You know, the last conference game, you know, highly ranked opponent inside Carver. That's going to be a fun one. You know, right now, I mean, you're tied in a three-way tie at 5-6, kind of at that number four spot. So certainly the Milliken and Elmhurst games are going to be super important. You know, you're traveling down to Decatur next Saturday. But, you know, two on the road, three at home. I think the Vikings are clearly in the, you know, in the driver's seat. What do you think is going to be kind of some of the key things for, you know, the team to focus on to really kind of solidify their spot in the conference tournament?
You know, a goal we had earlier in the season was to host a conference game and conference tournament game. And I believe it's the top four will host games versus the seeds 5-8. And that's been one of probably our biggest motivation to get a home game. Because I know last year, if you remember, we lost at Carroll, which kind of left it up to chance whether we were able to host a game or had to play the first round somewhere else. And we ended up having to play at Carthage. Super close game, but Carthage pulled it out and beat us. And this year, I think we can flip the tables. Flip the table, we can host a game and just kind of, like you said, set our own destiny, create our own destiny. It's kind of the hardest thing to do in the CCIW is get an away road win. And if we can start out that tournament, kind of beat Milliken in Decatur, which is another tough place to play, beat Elmhurst on our home floor, and then kind of battle the rest, I think that really will set us up to get that hosting a tournament game. I think that's kind of our biggest plan right now, is just to get to that point. It's where all of our eyes are focused.
Well, Coach Depp would say one game at a time, right?
So. You know, he always says the next biggest game, or the biggest game is the next one. So
yeah,
something we kind of want to share, one of his philosophies.
I mean, what feels a little bit different about this year do you think that's been, you know, it's kind of led the team to be more successful than maybe the past couple of years?
You know, Coach Delp has really turned this program into kind of mirroring what a D1 program would ask of its athletes. So we do a lot of film sessions together. We do a lot of weightlifting sessions together, especially preseason. Practices are very intense but efficient, which is a great part of it. But it's kind of that schedule and that routine that Coach Delp has built for us. Obviously, he prioritizes athletics and all of – not athletics, prioritizes academics, making sure we all graduate with an Augustana degree because that's what he sees as most important. But outside of the classroom and making sure we have enough time to get our homework done, he really does prioritize basketball, making sure we're in the best shape that we can be, making sure that we get in the training room and rehab, prevent any further injuries. But kind of that routine that he's built, because if you talk to Coach Delp, you know his mind's working at a million miles per hour, and
yep,
he's always got a routine or a plan. And it's one thing I love about him is he can, if you see his office, he's got a lot of post-it notes and a lot of papers with a lot of thoughts, and he's really good at kind of acting on those thoughts and turning them into actual action. So it's kind of the one thing that he's really, you could say, motivated us, but kept us disciplined when it comes to kind of our routine.
Yep. Well, I mean, you think a little bit about the, you know, there's this coaching staff and, you know, the types of connections within, you know, the various levels of programs and you know, professional side of things, the player development. You know, there's been a, you know, when Delp was, you know, named the 18th head coach, whatever it is, of the program. I mean, I've known Coach Delp since his freshman year. I was a junior. You know, so he and I go way, way back. You know, I was so excited about just the program really, truly kind of taking a next step, because it felt like it was in such a limbo from when Gray Giovanni left, and then to Schaefer, and then Jesse, and, you know, it never really kind of felt like it landed, you know, on something firm and kind of what and who was going to take, you know, the program to, you know, kind of back to what, you know, Augustana basketball was really known for. So, so I think, you know, your senior year, this senior class, you know, is doing a ton to really kind of reset the standard, I think for future programs. So I think that's a, you know, tip of the hat to all you seniors on the team, you know, kind of resetting that expectation. So, ton of leadership that goes into that. Now, you were talking a little bit about like some of the size within, you know, the CCIW, and, you know, after that home win versus North Park, you were being, you know, interviewed, the post game interview with Chris Ford, and you mentioned, you know, you're kind of slightly smaller than maybe a traditional center, that five spot. I mean, how do you say you kind of match up in the CCIW, and then, and like, how does that kind of influence, you know, your style of play?
Yeah. If you go back and look at just kind of all my matchups, a lot of the guys are somewhere between 6'7", 6'8", and then 6'10", on the taller side. My freshman, sophomore year, a little bit last year, I definitely kind of let that get to me, you know, thinking that I'm undersized. Still think I'm undersized just for motivational purposes, but I've really had to buy in when it comes to the weight room. Weight room is something that I have always prioritized. It's my mother and father were college athletes. My brother was a Division I football player. So the weight room's always been kind of in my routine. But when it comes to the CCIW bigs, I've realized put on a little bit of weight, but really focus on developing a basketball IQ. And if you see our offense, I'm usually at that pinch spot, a little more at the top of the key now. So a lot of our offense will run through that five-man spot. And the, you know, if I can't beat him, if I'm not taller than him, then I got to kind of get around them and use our offense to the advantage and create havoc. So one of the joys of our offense is that I do get to have the ball in my hands, but it's really my basketball IQ is something I've developed over the years. I've had a lot of good mentors when it comes to our coaching and at that five spot, but definitely an undersized big when it comes to the CCIW. Something I've weighed out with is just physicality and my basketball IQ to kind of thread the needle a little bit with passes, just get the offense moving. So,
So you said your parents were, you said D1 athletes, college athletes. What'd your parents do?
So my mom she went to Rockhurst University, and she was a runner-up national champion for women's basketball, and then ended up coaching Rockhurst to a national champion. So she's kind of a Hall of Famer at Rockhurst. My dad played, I believe, D3 at Rosary College, now Dominican. So they've always been a big part of my basketball career. My brother was a Division I football player. Went to West Point Military Academy for football. Sadly, broke his foot the day before he was supposed to travel the Ohio State game. And so then he transferred to Illinois State and played for 2 more years. So kind of we're all athletic. It's one of the good parts about my family is that we've just all played at a very high collegiate level. People talk about Division III basketball. It's not D1, but I don't think they've ever seen an Augustana CCIW matchup before. I think this is kind of the highest level at D3 that you can get. So it's something that it's not D1 like my mother and brother, but you know, it's very competitive D3.
Well, I mean, it's interesting you say it because there's been, you know, a lot of extremely successful players that have went from D3 to D1 and are making huge impacts at the D1 level. And there's a lot of skill, you know, within basketball, and that translates to every basketball court in the country. Doesn't matter what level you're playing at. If you can play, you can play. And there was something I saw on X too. Someone just posted around like per sport and at what level, like the percentage of high school athletes that go on to even play at the next level. I mean, you're talking, it was like 1% or 3% or something like that. It's super small, you know? So, you know, you think about the folks that are on the couch and, oh, it's not this, it's not that. It's like, well, you didn't even play there. So, you're the 97% that couldn't cut it. So, now, who would you say from your mom or your dad you get most of your ability from? Let's draw that debate.
Yeah, I've sadly, I gotta say, my brother, him and my mom are very similar, and so he's a little more athletic than me. But I am a mirror reflection of my dad when he was in college. I think I'm a little taller right now, but same weight, same body, same face, everything. So definitely get it from my dad. I didn't know he could jump like I can, but yeah, definitely from my dad.
I like it. Now, do you have any like game day habits or rituals?
You know, I wouldn't say any game day habits or rituals. I kind of like to get to the game about an hour and a half, hour 45 early. And I don't really listen to music. If I do, I'll have one AirPod in, but I'm more about communicating, talking to everybody, just kind of being a little more in the moment and talking to people rather than have music on and being into myself. I feel like that just helps and translates to communication during the game and kind of get some of the anxiety out that I might have or others might have. But it's kind of one of the things that I just hold myself to is not being into myself before, during pregame. But the rest of my routine is just me stretching, watching the women's game as we talked about, usually hopefully watching them win, but then just talking with the trainers, kind of doing my entire warm up as I have definitely been through a list of injuries. So I kind of have to do a lot to just prevent everything and also get everything warmed up so I can be at my best.
Yeah. Now what, outside of school and just basketball, I mean, what are generally some things you kind of enjoy doing?
Outside of school and basketball, you know, one thing is just being outside. Golf is one thing I've picked up a lot recently in the past couple of years. So when I'm out, when I have free time, usually I get to go with my roommates, or I'll call up some of my buddies that I've just known throughout the years, and we'll go to Saukee right down the street.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it's nicer, we'll maybe go into Iowa and play a little nicer of a course. But golf's definitely when I can, or I'll just go chip in my backyard. And then cooking is something I've tried to get into. Didn't do a lot of it over the first two and a half years of college, but once I got my own kitchen, it kind of allowed me to just mess up a little bit, but also find the recipes I like. So for Christmas, I asked for a cast iron skillet. That's kind of been my pride and joy for about a month. But yeah, cooking and golf have definitely been my two hobbies so far.
So, you know, would either one of those be, you know, something surprising, you know, about you that maybe most people wouldn't expect, like the cooking part?
Probably the cooking part. A lot of people know me as just kind of going to the dining hall because it's quick and easy and kind of fits in my schedule, because if I go off my schedule or go off my routine, I kind of throw myself into a fit, you could say. But now that I've kind of had time, especially during J-term break and winter break, when it's just us here and we have a little bit extra time on our hands, I try to cook. You know, I'm not going to say I'm great at it. I definitely mess up time to time.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've tried stuff. My new thing is salmon, just different fishes. I've definitely taken a liking to eating fish, but cooking it's a lot more challenging than I thought. But yeah, cooking's definitely something I don't think most people would, especially my teammates. Some of them would definitely say I can't cook, but I keep trying.
Yeah. Yep. Hey, that's all you can do. I remember, my junior year, you know, I got, you know, a bunch of, pots and pans and stuff from my grandma. And that's kind of when I first started, you know, by God, I was doing like spaghetti and I thought I was doing something, you know, when I first started, down in the old, duplex down by the dirt trap car wash there. That's where I got my start. So, everyone starts somewhere. Now, you know, thinking back a little bit, you know, back kind of your past 4 years, back to your senior year in high school, how did your college search kind of land you at Augustana?
Yeah, so if you recall, my current class of seniors, excluding Tyler Knuth, we were juniors kind of towards the end in the playoff time of our basketball seasons in high school. And that's kind of when COVID hit. And so COVID kind of limited visits you could take and actually see parts of campus. But COVID was more of a factor of missing high school basketball rather than landing me at where I am today. Thankfully, Coach Jesse was still willing to get me and my mother on the first visit, father on the second visit, because it just happened to work out like that. Get us here, sneak us into a building or two. Don't know if I'm allowed to say that, but get us to see campus when kind of COVID was really flaring up. So I think what landed me here was Coach Jesse really just trying to get us the full experience through the tough times that everybody was going through. But I also had kind of some other CCIW schools just recruiting me. But I think COVID was a big factor, big beneficial factor, you can say, of getting me to fall in love with Augustana. So, yeah, kind of the sacrifices that Coach Jay made to get me to see the whole, what Augustana is really about is kind of what landed me here.
Love it. I see you're, because you're an accounting major with a business, you know, focus on finance. So kind of what interested you in that track?
You know, business has always been something that I've just been interested in and thought I would go more towards business than accounting, but I actually accepted a job offer with Deloitte in Chicago for tax accounting after college. So I've kind of committed to the tax accounting route, but hope to get back to business. But business has just been something that I've always kind of had a knack for, you can say, because it's a lot more than just kind of numbers, it's a lot more risk, a lot more decisions that you might think. This past J term, actually, Evan Ambrose, Colton Gillingham, and I had a senior inquiry class for the business department, and it was a business simulation. So we basically had to, we had our product of 3D printed carbon fiber bikes and had to scale our business from a complete new industry, new market, into kind of a, hopefully one of a powerful companies, profitable and effective when it came to marketing and market share. And so we ended up placing, winning the competition, placing top 10 in the nation for the simulation. But that's kind of just made me fall in love more and more with business as I took the courses. Mm-hmm. And so it was definitely a right decision to go more towards business and accounting, and didn't really see myself going anywhere else.
Yeah. Sounds like you might have a future as a controller somewhere within a business. So director of finance. Yeah.
Let's hope that's kind of the end goal.
Yeah, I interviewed Evan early in January as that was kicking off. And I think it was like the first week maybe, and was talking about kicking that project off. And I think you guys were looking at like labor costs and some of the, you know, supply chain and some of the other things kind of at that time. So well, I was going to ask you, I mean, you had your internship at Deloitte, you know, which is awesome. I mean, that's one of the big four, you know, accounting companies and in the nation. And, you know, now, you know, you're going to be heading back to Deloitte. So, I mean, that's, at the end of the day, that's a great company to have on your resume regardless. A lot of people hold hold that into high regard. And, you know, I think starting there, you know, I oversee our talent acquisition for our operations sides for a manufacturing company, H&I, down in Muscatine. And, you know, some of the things we look at, you know, when we're bringing in, you know, folks for like financial analysts or controllers and cost accountants, whatever the case is, you know, any type of, obviously if you've been at a big four, that, that certainly helps, you know, helps a lot, in the tax accounting side. So it's a good foundation, you know, regardless if you, you know, stay and finish your career at Deloitte or, you know, you kind of, you know, move on, you know, at some point, it's always a good, good resume, builder for sure. Now, well, I mean, what will you be doing kind of in that role?
Yeah. So the official title is GI3, Global Investments and Innovation Incentives. And it's a lot of tax credit work and trying to get the most or the largest tax cut for a company that we can when it comes to research and development, sustainability credits, the Inflation Reduction Act of 2021, I believe it was. Is it holds a lot when it comes to green credits, sustainability, and then kind of new markets in wealth management, wealth investment. So really tax credits, but it's kind of us trying to attribute wages and salaries to the investment that that company has made and just getting them a little bit off the top when it comes to good old tax season.
Yep. Yep. Now, you know, looking at kind of your academic record, I mean, your academic all conference, Dean's List, I know you honorary recipient of the accounting and business department scholarship. Kind of where does that drive for just academic excellence come from?
I've definitely always been a, you can call it a nerd. I've always found academics to kind of be very entertaining, and just kind of learn as much as I can. But I think it's my grandfather was the vice president of Creighton University for 30 plus years. And so I've grown up, going to Creighton University, watching the, Blue Jays play, going to New York, watching, and kind of being around the academic, the academics of it, but also the sports side of it has really motivated me just to kind of get to the point where I am today. You know, I wouldn't be able to play at Augustana if I didn't have the grades that I do. Didn't have the grades that I did in high school. So kind of knowing that I wanted to play in college really drove my academics from kind of later in grade school, middle school time to now. So I've always excelled at it, always kind of found that I've been good at it when it comes to just academics in the classroom. But my next challenge in academics is actually studying for the CPA exam for accounting. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, that's kind of where my, that's kind of where my drive has come from, my grandfather.
Yep. Well, that's a big one. That's now, is your role with Deloitte also dependent on getting your CPA? And I don't know if there's, do you have to renew it every so often?
So Deloitte does want all of its professionals to obtain their CPA sometime in their career. It also helps to kind of move up in any company, get past the manager role, but Deloitte specifically would like you to get your CPA. But to keep it, once you've kind of achieved that certification, it's, I think it's called CPE credits, and it's just kind of extended learning. So you can pick classes that are like learning to be a leader or more area focused, so tax focused, but it's kind of like CPE credits, I believe is the official name. You just have to get a certain amount throughout the year to kind of keep that certification. So not really renew it. I think it'll renew automatically, but yeah, they just want you to learn. Never stop learning. It's kind of the way to approach life.
Absolutely. Well, you know, we're 42 minutes. It's kind of flown by here. So lastly, I just want to talk about, I mean, last game of the schedule at home versus Illinois Wesleyan. It's wide out. It's senior night. You know, as you think a little bit about the career you've had the last, you know, couple of years, what's been some of the most memorable moments that kind of stick out to you?
Yeah, I mean, the winter breaks have definitely been kind of the most new experience that I've had coming into college. It's kind of tough being here from when classes end in early December till J term starts in mid to early January. You kind of have to find stuff to kill the time. And kind of the most memorable memories have probably been specifically last year. We had eight guys in one house, all eight or juniors at the time. And what we would do is we would have everybody over because we had the space, and we would just find stuff to do, whether it was watching games that are on, playing video games, cooking food or dinners, kind of just having everybody in one place really kind of, it was just a great shared memory, I would say, between all of us. I bet you some of the other guys would say the same, but winter breaks are, it's tough being here alone, just the basketball team and maybe one or two other sports teams, but kind of having everybody in one place has really gotten us through winter breaks. And I think that's one of the greatest memories I've had throughout the past 4 years now, which is scary to say 4 years, but yeah.
Goes by quick, doesn't it?
It does. You know, people have told me throughout the 4 years, 5 years, when it started the college search, that it goes by quick, but you don't realize it till now.
Well, I just got an email last week, you know, for the invitation for the 20th year anniversary or reunion of my, you know, of my class from 05. So, you know, you want to talk about feeling old real quick, that, that humbles you. So,
yeah, I bet. You know, we actually talked about in our senior class, it was like, oh, this will be talked about when you have your 10-year reunion or 5-year reunion. I'm just like, it's a little too far in the future for me to think about. But yeah, I bet it came up quick for you.
It does. And, you know, it's one of those two, because I'm, you know, I'll be doing like the football game, and so sometimes it's hard to participate in a lot of stuff kind of around that, you know, around that day, cause I'll be broadcasting and calling that game. But, yeah, it's just crazy to think like you know, it does go by so fast. You know, I'm like, gosh, I'll be 43 in September. But I can remember, you know, a lot of what you were talking about, just, you know, sitting in, you know, the different houses we, you know, we lived in, the roommates we had, the, you know, pregame, you know, fun we had before we went on a campus, the, gosh, the finals, the, you kind of name it. You know, a lot of that stuff certainly sticks with you, but yeah, it's like, that's why they say like what time is all, you know, is always relative. And, you know, it's like the older you get, you know, the amount of time that, you know, that is just continues to shrink from your life. You know, it's such a big, you know, period of time at that point. But it's good memories, and it's always fun to kind of stay engaged. And, you know, there is life after college, and there's a whole lot more, you know, yet to do. So, well, Mike, again, appreciate you jumping on today and connecting with me here on Sunday. And it's always nice to do it after a big win at home. Nice kind of clean sweep yesterday as well. Team played great. Obviously you played great, you know, 8 rebounds there and in 19 minutes. And, yeah, it's been, again, humbling to have you on, kind of be a part of this and join me here on the Viking Press Pass. So again, thanks for joining me, and we'll see you soon.
Yeah. I appreciate you having me on. Thank you.
Absolutely.